Happy holidays and welcome to the Mike's Camera Action. You know, I don't know what we're going to call this. The Christmas specials, month of merriment.
Month of merriment.
All right.
I love it.
That's canon now. That's going in. We're starting off the holidays strong with A Christmas Story. I am Carl, as always, and I am joined by my lovely guest, Lizzie.
Hello. I am so excited to talk about A Christmas Story. This has been like my family's favorite film for as long as I could process films. It's an American classic.
Oh, definitely. And I'm a little surprised that I hadn't seen this because it's very American.
Very American.
But it's also like there's a lot of I relate pretty hard to a lot of the stuff in this still. Like a lot of it's still pretty timeless.
Oh yeah, like not, everything the narrator was about to say you would say it right before he said it without ever having seen this film.
It was pretty shocking. I was just like, I just throw out a line and then the narrator would just say the exact same thing and I was like,
Are you from the 40s? Are you from the past?
Is this me? Am I time traveler?
An American time traveler.
Not exactly the time I would go to, 1940 Christmas, but sure.
I mean, I don't think I would either.
No, it only gets worse after 1940.
And then it gets better.
And then it gets better, of course, but immediately the year after it would get worse.
Oh yeah, all the rations and shit.
Like when you think about it. Like,
that's when the war really started to swing into full effect.
Well, was 1940... Did America join the war? Join to World War II in 1940 or 41?
I think it was... The Pearl Harbor attack was in December. I think it was 1941.
Okay.
Let me just fact check this.
Yeah,
because
check that. Because
as a good American, I should be able to know what the hell happens in my country.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor attack. Because that's what really got us into the World War.
Yeah, that's what forced America into it.
Mm. Yep, December 7th, 1941.
There you go. So this is pretty much this would pretty much be the last like Christmas for the next couple of years.
Yeah, because then all kids of the all the rations came into full effect. There was a big metal ration. Like one of the factoids that I looked up about this film is there's a scene where Ralphie, he gets a mail order decoder pendant pin type of thing, and it's made of metal, and it has 1940 written on it. And this was the last year that the Little Orphan Annie Ovaltine special used metal decoders. The rest of until about 1945, they used paper because of the rationing of metal.
Yeah, because they're too busy. Yeah, exactly. Using metal for
making tanks and
tanks, guns, aircraft,
and
whatever,
and our Nagasaki bombs.
Them Nagasaki bombs.
That was a bit insensitive.
A little bit. Only a little. That's the Mike's Camera Action slogan. A little bit insensitive.
A little bit insensitive. I just want a disclaimer here. I do not appreciate any of that time. That was a horrible time.
Oh, you don't appreciate World War II?
No, I really don't. War is hell.
War is hell, damn it.
But anyways, let's talk about Christmas instead of war.
taking away from what, you know, the future where, you know, it would get worse, let's go to where it gets better with Christmas. You brought up the Dakota Ring, and this is something where it clicked in my mind. Like, I've heard lines from this movie before. Like, it is a classic, so I know I've heard things before. So there's a moment early on in this movie where he turns on the radio to his favorite radio program, which is Little Orphan Annie.
Yeah.
And it says, like, brought to you by Ovaltine. And that was the moment where it immediately clicked in my mind, oh, this is the movie where the line, be sure to drink your Ovaltine, is from.
Oh, and it was so disappointing because this kid has been waiting for this decoder and waiting for the secret message from Little Orphan Annie. And he's holed up in the bathroom trying to figure it out. And his little brother has to take a shit. And
his
he's
mom's
like,
yelling
no.
at him. They're
he's
knocking
like,
on
no,
the door.
I got to figure it out. I got to figure it out. And then he reads it, be sure to drink your Ovaltine. Son of a bitch.
It's a crappy commercial.
Crappy commercial.
That's it.
The first disillusionment of childhood.
Yep. It's a coming of age movie in the sense that this kid just had his like childhood dreams crushed there, where it's like, it's just a commercial. Like
the entire movie was him getting knocked down.
Yeah.
Knocked down literally and figuratively. Knocked down by his mom saying, "You can't have your BB gun. You'll shoot your eye out." Asking his teacher.
By Santa.
"You'll shoot your eye out." His teacher. Nah.
Just
he
everyone.
Was never gonna get it.
Nah.
But
he does.
He does. The one person he doesn't ask got it for him.
And I don't think anyone, or like, I don't think him or anyone else ever brought up the BB gun to his dad. Because he was focusing on his mum early on. He was focusing on his teacher. He was trying. He made a last-ditch effort to get Santa on his side, like, hey, Santa, get me the BB gun. But then his dad just, like, I think he has a throwaway line in there where he's like, I had one when I was eight, so why not this kid? Like, he's of age.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure
his mom probably talked to the dad.
Probably brought it up, but... Like, I don't think at any point on screen do we see anyone even suggest the idea to him.
No.
He was like, he completely never thought of like pitching the idea to his dad. And his dad's the one who just goes out and goes, oh, yeah, I'll get my son a BB gun. Like, just of his own accord.
It's really sweet. It was really sweet. That's one of my favorite moments in the movie. Mm. And that's really, I think, what Christmas is all about. That last magical moment. You know, like, you have the moment where they wake up. And they've got the winter wonderland. There's icicles on the trees. It's quiet. The kind of quiet that only Christmas can bring, you know? Like, the streets are quiet. Everyone's in their house. Everyone's waking up to Santa Claus presents, you know? Just a tree full of presents. And then it gets to the end of the day when they opened up all the presents and he doesn't have what he really wants. And he's just, like, bummed out.
Just
even though he got all these wonderful things. Ever. It wasn't the thing he wanted the most. And then his dad's just like, what's that over there? And then you just see the eyes light up. And then his dad is just giddy with joy. It looks like he's 10 years younger.
Yeah.
Just watching him find this hidden present, opening it. Oh, heart.
It is super magical. Just like, between his dad saying like, oh, you've got one more gift. What's that over there? And then like to him finding it and unwrapping it, like that moment
just
where
slowly.
His dreams are reinvigorated again.
Yeah.
It's great. I love it.
And the belief in Santa is there again.
There it is. After it was horribly crushed by terrifying Mall Santa.
Oh, Mall Santas.
This is the... Like, there are some, like, awful Mall Santas. And then there's this guy who's, like, got a kid up on his knee and is shouting ho, ho, ho in the kid's face.
Ho,
ho,
ho!
Like, oh, God. Don't traumatize the child.
And the worst part is that, like, there's really no way for a parent to go up with you.
No.
Because if you've never seen this film, what they do is they have these scary looking fucking elf people who are just grumpy, not happy to be there. It's almost 9 p.m. They're done. They're tapped out and
they're finished for their shift. They're grabbing kids off the stairway and they're throwing them into Santa's lap.
They're like, fucking say what you want already. They don't care about the Christmas spirit. They want to go home.
Yeah.
They want some bedtime.
Damn right.
And so what they do is they've got the scary Santa who's just all up in your business saying, what do you want? And all these kids are screaming.
Yeah.
They're terrified. And then they fucking push him down the slide.
Just toss him down the slide, feet first.
Toss him down the slide. It's just like, I never in my life.
You've never had that kind of experience in America?
No!
being pushed up a mountain full of people up to Santa and then thrown back down?
No!
As Santa boots you back down the slide?
My Santa experiences have been quite magical.
Yeah?
Like, it was a real old man with a real white beard. It was like Miracle on 34th Street shit. Just like, you must be Santa Claus because you have real whiskers.
When was the last time you like got your picture taken with a mall Santa?
Hmm.
Do you remember?
Probably. I remember wearing my Nightmare Before Christmas sweater because it had Jack Skellington on. Well, when was that? I think I was about 13 max.
Yeah.
I had my short hair.
Okay.
So it was before, like 10.
All right.
I'm going to say 10.
Oh, pre-high school, is he?
Well, yeah, because then it was just weird for a girl to sit on an old dude's lap.
Yeah, it would be. I'm just trying
to... didn't even do it because Latrobe Student Theater has a Christmas show, right?
Yeah.
And you can sit on Santa's lap. And Santa happens to be Ryan Smith.
Yep.
And I love Ryan Smith with all my heart, but I'm not going to sit on anybody's lap.
No.
Especially if they're dressed up as old men. I'm sorry.
I mean, I might for the fun of it, you know, like just, hey, Santa, what's up? Yeah, can I sit on your lap?
And a lot of people A lot of people embrace the spirit, but I'm paranoid.
I ain't touching that.
I'm not touching. I don't like being touched in general.
Fair?
So I was like, nah, sorry, Ryan, not today. I'll just give you a little finger gun action. Good on you for being Santa Claus.
Someone's got to do it.
Oh, and he does. He does a great job.
Oh,
he's really good at it. He's actually, I think he's actually...
He's definitely got that like showmanship about him.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. He's actually a mall Santa right now, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I think he does it every year.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan Smith. Leave a
he's
comment.
He's not going to listen to this.
You better fucking listen to this. I'm going to tag you in it so you do.
Oh, shit. There you go. We may have just acquired one more listener, Peter. Audience members, more of them.
I get them by calling them out. Yeah, so anyway. Were there any scenes that stuck out to you the most?
There's a great moment in this where it's just after Ralphie gets into this fight with his, like,
Scott Farkas,
the most ugly name of all
he
time.
He had yellow eyes.
Kid. I swear they were yellow. but he gets into this fight with this kid, throwing out obscenities, just wailing on him. And his mom takes him home, and she doesn't punish him. Instead, she's like very consoling and just like, okay, it's fine. And then when his dad gets home, he's convinced he's going to be murdered by his own father for getting into a fight. He's like, nah, that's it. I'm going to get, spanked. It's going to be hell. My father's going to be disappointed, not mad.
It's going to be worse than Lifebuoy soap.
Yeah, it's somehow going to be worse than Lifebuoy, which soap poisoning makes you blind, I guess.
No, it's just one of those things where kids
why didn't
is like,
we use Lifebuoy?
I hope I get hurt. I hope I die. Then they'll be sorry.
Yeah. But it's that, and there's that moment where like, where his father asks, oh, what did he get into a fight about? And she like vouches for him where she's like, oh, it's fine. I talked to him about it already. Even though like there hadn't been, she hadn't punished him by any means, but she's just like, oh, it's fine. You don't need to punish him. I've already done it. And there's that moment where he says like in the narration, things were different between me and my mother after that. And I think that's like a really great moment where I feel like for everyone, there's a point for both of your parents where you stop, where that happens, where you stop seeing them as some sort of just authority figure and realize that they're a real person.
They're a person who does care about you and who does love you. Not just someone who feeds you and punishes you when you do something wrong, but someone who really understands you. She understood he was having a shitty day.
Yeah, exactly.
It was horrible. Because this poor kid, he's feeling really shit. He's gone. His last ditch effort was trying to convince his teacher to get him his BB gun, and he got a C+ on his paper. So not only did he get a shit grade, his teacher said you'll shoot your eye out, and he's walking home alone, feeling really shit. Gets fucking plowed in the face with a snowball.
Yeah.
And he wears glasses, so it's stuck under his frame.
Which is just the worst.
Yeah. You don't even know.
No. I went to the snow like a couple of months ago. It's like third time in my life I've done that. And ended up copping a snowball like while wearing sunglasses. And I was like, oh, this is how it feels. Oh, that's what it's like.
Yeah, it's like stuck behind and it's cold. But it's the type of cold that kind of burns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling.
Yeah, it's not just like, oh, I'm chilly. It's wet and cold and burny.
It's just the impact
is horrible too. So,
yeah.
And this kid, he's just like, fuck you. And then just beat. And this
totally
kid is,
wails on
and
him.
Scott Farkas, he's huge. He's a big kid.
He's big compared to these kids, yeah.
Yeah, I feel
definitely older.
Yeah, and it's just, there's that moment when his mom comes and she's like, Ralphie. And he's still going at it. And then she looks at him and she says, Ralphie? And then he starts crying. And it's like, oh.
Oh, God.
And she's like, okay, I think this is enough. Let's go home.
Yeah, your punishment is you've already done it to yourself, kid. You know what you've done.
Yeah, and he's hysterically crying. And the kind of crying where she says, go lay down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've gotten that before. She's like, Lizzie, you need a nap.
You need to just
You need some milk.
She needs some milk. But she even picks up his glasses afterwards, and Ralph completely forgets about him. So when his dad asks, oh, where's your glasses? He's like, oh, no, I've totally ruined everything. He's going to, it's going to be even worse now than just I've got no fight. And then she completely covers and goes, oh, you just left him on the radio. Here you go. And it's like, oh,
that's
oh
little,
she's too
it's
pure.
That little secret moment that you only have with your mom or your dad. It's those little tiny secret moments you have with your parents that just make your relationship a little better.
Yeah.
As watching this as an adult, like I always related with the kids growing up because I watched it from a child. But this year, I could see the parents' view and just like, oh, I would treat my child like this too. It was real good. I don't think I'd ever put soap in a child's mouth.
No, did you ever get that as a kid, or you or your siblings ever get the soap in the mouth treatment?
I don't know if Veronica and Sam ever did, but I definitely did. I was
really?
A fucking potty mouth.
Are you, of like your siblings, where do you fall in?
I'm
like
the middle child.
Middle child?
So
okay, you
too. My sister is 3.5 years older than me, and my brother is 6.5 years younger than me.
Okay.
So he's 18 now, and she's 28.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's turning 29 this year. And Veronica, she got she was a troublemaker in her own right. She did things that I didn't do.
Yeah.
And then Sam, same thing. We're all different kids.
Yeah.
But me,
you're a shit stirrer and a half.
I was a shit stirrer. I had a big mouth that could not be stopped by soap or my mom's hand.
No Dove soap can stop me, woman.
Yeah, but I really relate to the scene where he talks about the different kinds of soaps. And which
oh, really?
Ones you prefer. Yeah, because I've had a couple soaps. It's just like always. Just
a little bit of sampling.
Yeah, like, just make sure you curl up your tongue so it's actually touching the bottom of your tongue and not your actual taste buds.
Are you teaching our young listeners how to escape this punishment?
Young listeners, curl up your tongue. And if you can't do that, just kind of hold it with your teeth.
Don't bite down. Don't bite.
Because then you'll get it stuck in your teeth, which was my rookie mistake. The first time I got soap in my mouth, I bit
awful.
Down so I can hold it so I could keep my tongue back. Mm. But then I got all the chunks stuck in my canines.
Having to floss out later, like just chunks of soap.
Yeah, I didn't need to brush my teeth for a week.
Oh. Maybe brushing would have helped that, but sure. I think from memory, that only happened once in my house where someone actually got the soap treatment.
Who was it?
It was my younger brother. He got it one time.
What
and
did
that
he
was
say?
It. I'm pretty sure it was the same word Ralphie used.
Oh, so the word that Ralphie used. So this let me set the scene for you all. So they're driving home from getting their Christmas tree. And there's a flat tire. And his dad asks him to hold the hubcap with the nuts in it. And his dad elbows it on accident. And then the bolts go flying.
Mm.
And Ralphie was like, I saw them all disappear. And then it came out. And he said, oh, fudge. And it says fudge, but he didn't say that, gentlemen and ladies.
I love the narration crossed with like what's happening on screen, where it's a very child-friendly movie where he goes, oh, fudge. And the narrator cuts in with like, but I didn't say fudge.
Yeah, he said fuck.
I said the word.
It was fuck.
Yep.
Let me say it again. Fuck.
And we're going to have to use that explicit tag on iTunes now.
Hashtag fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, he says the word and then he gets the soap in his mouth. And then he, yeah. But
and
I don't
it wasn't
I don't
the
think
last
that was,
time.
I think the first time I got soap in my mouth, I think I said bitch.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty
what,
sure
what
I said.
What was that over?
I feel like I called one of my neighbor girls a bitch.
Ow.
Which, I mean, she was.
She deserved it.
She deserved it. Oh, but look, I'm a misanthropic person. I hate all people.
Yeah, fair.
So, like, she probably was okay.
she was probably an upstanding person.
She's
but
probably okay, but 10-year-old Lizzie, 8-year-old Lizzie was just like, she's a fucking bitch. I feel like maybe I said fucking bitch.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
you
I
know
went
what?
For a double whammy.
That's bounds for a soaping.
Well, my parents were really big on us not swearing at all. At least my mom was. My dad, the first time I ever like really swore in front of my parents was when I turned 18. I think I dropped bigger words, and my dad's like, she's 18, she can do what she wants. And my mom was like, Elizabeth, stop. Yeah, busting out the full name.
For me and my family, it was kind of like, I think I was pretty much like never swore like throughout like young ages. Then like kind of tried to, you know, keep that in check during
test
high school
the boundaries,
years.
Just like,
yeah.
Can I say crap?
Yeah. And then like once hitting like adulthood, it was just like, and oh no, I've become a sailor. And now it's like, I'll like not realize that I've just sworn like right in front of my parents. I'm like, ah, fuck. I've just done that, haven't I? I've just cursed like right in front of my parents.
See,
and like,
yeah.
Sure enough, they don't really call that out or care that too much, because it's like, yeah, he's an adult, whatever, he'll learn. But it's like, I'm just like, I don't know. What have I become? I used to be such a good boy.
You know what? Actually, so here's a funny little side story. So I swear a lot. I really love expletives.
Oh,
I feel
great.
Like that's the sustaita side of me, because I don't feel, me and my dad have this saying, me and my dad go for quantity of swear words, but my mom goes for quality.
Oh,
so when
shit.
She swears, she's disgusting. She
some
says the
ones.
Nastiest stuff that me and my dad are just like, what the fuck?
Oh, jeez. Did she just say that?
Mom, you need soap in your mouth. But anyway.
So you go for like the, Ralphie's dad, where it's just like a long trail of just horrible phrases.
Bumpuses, sons of bitches, you know? Yeah. So me and my dad, we go for quality. We swear quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And when I got my internship with Disney World, my mom's like, you're going to need to watch your mouth, Elizabeth. You are going to have to cut it out now so that when you get there, you'll be okay. So, and I'm not actually sure like how legal it is for me to say this, but yeah. I haven't worked with the company for about 5 years now, so I'm just going to go for it.
You're fine.
So my very first day.
Oh, God.
I show up and I'm nervous and I'm just like, all right, do not say anything. And on
say
stage.
Say nothing.
And on stage, you don't say that. Like, I have a couple friends who came up with some really funny substitutes, like Mickey's father, you know?
Mickey's father,
you know, just stuff like that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I don't think I coined that. I'm not that clever. Yeah. I think my friend Michael did.
That's really clever.
But the very first shift I ever had, I went to the break room backstage, and I swear, every cast member in there had already said a cuss word, and I was there for 5 minutes. I think the first thing I ever heard in that break room was, son of a bitch. And I was like, okay.
Oh, y'all come back here to get it out, do you?
Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what happens backstage. Stands West. You just say those fucking guests and their fucking asshole kids.
Goddamn motherfucking kids.
Oh, yeah. It's good. But, like, good thing we only have, like, 5 audience members. So I'm,
no one's going to report you. So you're fine.
Nah, it's fine. Obviously, we're
man,
humans.
Mickey Mouse is going to come down hard on you after hearing you talking about what goes down backstage.
Nah, honestly, I feel like, out of all the secrets that have been leaked, this is the tiniest one. We've had cast members who get termed and shit for, like, you can't take pictures backstage.
Really?
No. So, like, it's not really allowed. People do. Because there are pictures of me on Facebook where I'm in the break room with my friends and we're having a good time. I feel like that's kind of like a gray area where it's like, it's okay, but you really shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But if it's more important for when friends of the characters, that's what they're called, like face characters and fur characters, it's very important for them not to take pictures backstage and for them to cross the lines. Because we try to keep the magic happening.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, that's exactly it. Disney's got their brand that they're trying to hold on to. They don't want you to.
And it's really hard with this day and age, you know, because
Everyone's got a camera like right there. Yeah, everyone's got like 3 cameras sitting in their pocket at any given time these days.
Oh yeah, like I think I read this fact where in pre cell phones, the amount of pictures uploaded to Instagram in one day is more than all of the pictures taken up to pre-cell phone.
That doesn't shock me at all.
Something like that.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, don't take pictures backstage.
You want me to tie this into a movie? Like, if we're on the topic of, like, of cameras, isn't the plot of 1984, they put, like, a camera, just this one in this guy's house, and his whole shtick is, like, this one camera. Watching. Yeah. And this one camera ruins his life.
Oh, it's a fucked up story. 1984 is such a good story in just terms of surveillance.
Mm.
And it should have been a warning, not like a maybe we should amp up our surveillance. I'm looking at you, America.
That's exactly like one camera in this guy's house, and he has like this one like square foot blind spot. And yet I have 2 to 3 cameras on my person at all times. And, and 2 microphones, and also I've got, you know, like...
Yeah, you've got cameras on you right now that you don't even know. You've got the camera on the monitor.
There's one right there and on that this monitor. Laptop there's here. Another one on this laptop. There's
And there's probably one in this room somewhere to make sure that we don't, like, break shit.
Even in my house, I've got, you know, like, you have security cameras. Like, I know so many people putting them in.
Cameras?
I don't, but I should. I've always wanted to.
No, just say that like, you do in
I
case
do.
Robbers
No,
are
I do.
Listening.
I actually have some hidden ones. wink. But you know, you've got like a lot of people have security cameras. There's also those like like those Ring doorbells, which are like these cameras that are just on a doorbell.
Yeah, like those surveillance videos that once someone comes in within your door, it starts recording.
Yep, that's exactly it. And you can just pipe them to your phones. I've even got in my, like, let's, and I know so many people like this, where you've got your back room has, if you've got like, or not your back room, like your lounge room, if you've got like a console set up, like the new ones, Xbox One came with a Kinect. So I've just got, at all hours, I have this, Xbox One sitting there in my lounge room with a camera on it that's recording at all times. Like, I can walk into that room and say, Xbox on, and then it turns itself on. And it's like, well, shit. You know, like...
Big brother's watching.
Yeah.
But that's not the point of our podcast.
No.
But also, you should probably keep blue tack on the cameras of your computers and stuff. That's what I do, because I'm paranoid as hell.
Fair enough.
Like, I can't do it on my phone because I guess I could.
Camera. Like a little cover. Like, I'm sure there are cases that just have like a slide on and off thing on that.
Maybe, but I snap a chat a lot.
Oh, yeah. Go let people know you're still alive at all hours of the morning.
Well, yeah. Fucking hell, man. I almost got murdered last night.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Terrifying walk.
Yeah, so this whole movie, I think, encompasses a lot of childhood.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. They've got very perfect little vignettes of things that happens, I think, in everyone's childhood.
Yeah.
You know, like you say your first cuss word in front of your parents, and then you know you fucked up. You know, the magic of a holiday. Not to say that, because not everyone celebrates Christmas, but they know that magic of getting together with family on this special occasion.
And it's even got another one of my, like, the scenes I really like is where it being one of the most memorable Christmases of this character, of like the narrator's life, and it doesn't go to plan at all. Like a bunch of dogs break into the house, eat the turkey, and so they have to spend the night going out to what was a bowling alley is now a Chinese restaurant.
Bowling,
which you pointed out, and I was like, oh crap, that's genius.
It was genius. It's really clever. They turned this bowling alley into a restaurant, and this is the first time I ever noticed this, because I noticed that it said bowling on it, but the W was out of the light, and then I saw on the door like the painted bowling, so they changed it into the name
smart.
Of the restaurant. It's crafty.
No, that's some good thinking, you know. life hack. I'm going to do that if I ever open up a Chinese restaurant in a former bowling alley.
Bowling. We serve ramen.
And
duck with the head still attached.
It's smiling at me.
Then chop it off right in front of him. Amazing.
Then you've got like, I should insert it into the like audio, but just the... the restaurant workers just singing Deck the Halls.
I'll do it.
It's a joke that you couldn't do in a movie now.
Oh, no. You really, really couldn't do it without someone getting upset. But I would be remiss to ignore that stuff.
It's still like, because it's still funny, you know?
Yeah. So they're celebrating at a Chinese restaurant, and presumably this particular Chinese family doesn't celebrate Christmas, of course, because they're there working and the restaurant is open. So they show up for dinner because their turkey is eaten up by the sons of bitches, Bumpus's dogs. Sons of bitches! So, like, the only two swear words that are ever said in this movie is son of a bitch.
Yep.
And
got their one use out, you know.
Yeah, it's one by Ralphie and the other one by the dad about the fucking dogs.
Yeah.
Because he hates them. And even when Ralphie gets his BB gun, his mom's like, don't shoot animals and don't shoot at people and shit. And his dad's like, except the dogs.
Except the neighbor's dogs. They have, 785 of them?
Yeah, exactly. So, point being, they go to this restaurant, and these people, bless their souls, they have very thick accents, so they can't say the L's. And they're trying to make this a memorable holiday for these people, so they're singing Deck the Halls, but they're saying fa-ra-ra-ra-ra.
And then Deck the Halls with bells of Hari.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. And it's just like, oh, honey. And then the restaurateur, the guy is like, no, it's not ra-ra-ra. It's la-la-la. And then he's like, you know what? Just bring out the food.
Yeah.
Just bring out the food.
Just back into the kitchen, guys. Just knock it off.
And it's beautiful. It's just, and this movie is so full of quotable quotes.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite being, when I told my dad that we were doing this for the podcast, the first thing he said to me was like, fragile, must be Italian. Which was, that's like, if I show this movie to a person and they don't laugh at this joke, I just don't like my estimation of their fucking personality, my honor for them has just dropped a little bit. If they don't like the fragile joke, you can get the fuck out of
fragile.
My life.
Fragile.
Must be Italian. I think it says fragile, honey.
It's still good.
It's amazing. And then the leg lamp.
The lamp is the worst. It's
you
a major.
The best.
He's so proud of this lamp, and he didn't even know. Like, he gets this major award. Like, he wins this. Like, some.
It's a crossword award because yeah. In the first scene when they're at the table eating, he's trying to do the crossword puzzle, and he says we could get $50,000. So he places.
Yeah.
And gets, I guess, maybe the lower tier prize, which was a plastic lamp shaped in a woman's leg. Covered in fishnet stocking.
It's the tackiest, most ridiculous, awful thing you could possibly put in your front window.
And he does it anyway and says it's a major award.
It's beautiful. Look at it, guys. Look at what I've won. Like, it to him, that thing is a trophy to be mounted on a trophy rack and shown to the world.
Excuse Bless me. You. Thanks.
So he's showing that thing off, and he wants everyone to see it. So he's sticking it right in the front window. It's like,
and
this
all
is
of the
ugly.
Neighbors, all of the neighbors, like, what's that? What's that? This fucking Midwest town, a regular neighborhood with this fucking sex lamp. Because, like, it's not just a woman's leg in a high heel. Like, you see the bottom of her butt.
Yep.
Like, there's the curve right of there. Where the butt would be, and then the lampshade. Which has it's a gold lampshade with black fringe. It's amazing. I think my brother has a mini version in his dorm room.
That is horrendous.
It's amazing.
It's a good desk. It better as a desk lamp, though, where it's not being shown to the whole world.
I think they
Observe
sell.
Observe my real life desk lamp.
I think they sell, like, the.
That
the,
doesn't shock me at all.
I would buy it. I would pay money for it and just be like. Fragile.
I
don't touch. It's fragile.
I don't blame her for breaking it at all.
Oh, but did she?
So you brought this up like that. You said like right before that happened that this is a seriously hotly debated thing. So,
yeah, because that's what the narrator says. Yeah. So the husband is working. I don't even think we get their names. It's just mom and dad, isn't it?
I don't remember their names. So
I don't remember
so,
their
yeah.
surname. But that anyway, so dad's working on the furnace in the basement. It's hotly debated. He always swears as it, but it's just and there's smoke coming out of the door. And then the mother, Ralphie's at the table. He's getting ready to eat dinner. I don't know where the Randy is, the little brother. But the mother has her watering can and she picks it up and she looks. She looks like she's got something in her mind. She's just walking in like, and then you hear a crash. And then Ralph's like, what the hell? And then suddenly the torrent of cussing is stopped. And the dad comes upstairs and he's like, what was that? He already knows.
Oh, yeah.
He already knows. So he goes to the living room and the mother is just holding this broken lamp in her hands. The watering can is up there. The plant to the left. Nowhere, not really near the lamp at all. And she says, I don't know what happened. I was just trying to water my plant and I broke your lamp. And it's like, beautifully rehearsed, Mrs. Mom.
Mrs. Mom.
But that's the thing. She says, I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, it's the ugliest lamp I've ever seen. And he's like, oh, I know you did it, but I can't yep. prove it. And he's like, I need the glue. And she's like, we're out of glue. You used
you
the bother
used
glue.
It's a very like couple spat that. Where it's like just something over nothing, but it's like, this is the hill that I die on. Is this lamp? It was hideous. I hated it. I broke it on accident, I swear, but I hated it anyway.
Yeah, this is the battle I'm choosing.
Yeah.
You know how you pick your battles? I pick this one. And it's just, and that's what it says. It's debated upon. And he tries to glue it back together, but because it's made from this weird plastic.
Junky plastic. It's cheap.
It's cheap plastic. And he doesn't really know how to fix fragile things, I don't think. I think she could have been able to fix it.
Yeah.
Because I knew that if you just let the glue dry, it might be able to work. But he finished gluing it, and then he put the lampshade on, and it just crumpled. And then Ralphie talks about how he buried it.
Yeah.
He didn't throw it in the bin. He buried it by the garage. And
It'll
Ralph
never
was like,
decompose.
It'll never
It'll
decompose.
Be there a thousand It'll years be, later.
And be like, what the hell is this? And he says, and I swear, I could hear the faint sound of taps being played. You know, like, yeah. And it's just like, oh, my God, y'all are too much.
Extra. This is too far.
You are the most. But it's, It's one of those things, you know, like the thing that you know. It's one of those things that happens with parents. You know one of them did something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know who, and they will all swear to their grave it didn't happen that way.
Yep.
Can you think of anything like that with your parents?
I can't think of any like that. No. Can you?
Nah.
Nah? Nothing comes to mind?
Nah, my dad is too honest.
Yeah? Okay.
Actually.
Oh, shit. You've got a story.
I have a story.
Okay.
I have a story. So I must have been about a junior in high school. So I was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom used to work with this man named Jim Adams. No, I can't remember his name. But okay. I'm pretty sure it was Jim. I'm pretty sure Adams is not his last name, but his name is Jim.
Yep.
And his son's a chocolatier.
Yep.
Like a legit chocolatier. And so sometimes he'll bring chocolates to my mom. So one year she gets this really beautiful dark brown box with this beautiful ribbon. It's beautiful.
That sounds amazing.
It's gorgeous, but this is my mom's chocolate.
Oh,
we
okay.
do not touch it.
Yep.
So she had it on our bookshelf, right? Not in the lounge room. We have like a foyer area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the sitting room where we read our books and stuff. And she had it on a bookshelf and it was just looking down at me. And I'm just like,
oh,
my
no,
God.
No, Lizzie.
Now.
Okay.
I know not to eat it.
Yep.
But one day I was alone in the house. And I slipped the ribbon off and I opened the box and 3 of the 4 chocolates have already been eaten and there's one left.
Oh, shit.
Because I don't know. Maybe I thought maybe I could get away with it if there were 2 left.
Oh,
maybe.
Yep.
But then I was like, nah.
Last
this
one.
This is the last
can't
one.
Do it.
So I bring it up to my nose and I sniff it.
Oh, God.
But then I close the box, slip the ribbon back on, put it on its shelf, and then I walk away.
Yep.
So one day, one fateful day in the Sustaita household, I hear my mom, Elizabeth, Nick, get up here now. Because I live downstairs. And I'm like, shit. And I was like, did I take out the trash? Did I clean something? What did I do?
What have I done wrong?
What have I fucked up? I know I fucked up, but how? And she had me and my dad in the room. And she's like, I know one of you fuckers did this. And my mom doesn't swear much.
Yep.
But she swore at us then. So we know it's serious. And me and my dad are looking at each other. And because me and my dad are basically clones of each other, we're just like, what the fuck? We're like a couple of clown shoes looking at each other. Like, what the hell is going on? And my mom holds an empty box.
Oh, someone ate the last one.
And she's like, which one of you did it? She immediately blamed me and my dad. She said, like, one of you did it. I know you did it. And I looked at my dad. I said, I didn't do it. You did it. And he's like, I didn't do it. All I did was sniff it. And I was like, that's all I did.
Yeah.
I was like, I swear to God, we didn't do it. And me and my dad are blaming each other. And then my brother was sitting at the dining room table.
Oh, fuck.
My brother's about 10 years old at this point. And he's quiet. And my brother's always been quiet, but he's too quiet.
Oh,
so
shit.
So I look at him, and then my dad catches me looking at him. And both of us look at him for a second, and for a minute, it's quiet. And Sam has a blank face, and all of a sudden, he smirks. Just like the slightest of smiles, and me and my dad both look at him and said, you did it! And he just starts laughing.
Yep.
He just starts laughing, and my mom, her golden boy, she never even thought to blame him. I don't even think he could really reach it at this point, because he was short.
We've had to get a chair involved.
I think he got a chair involved.
Oh, he put in effort.
The thing is that he ate it, but didn't he put the ribbon back on the box too?
Oh, that tricksy motherfucker. He did it. Although, in all fairness, you would have done the same.
I didn't, though. I didn't. It was the last one.
Yeah.
I don't even think I would have done it.
But if there were 2, would you?
I'm not sure. I think I would have been really tempted. I think maybe I would have kind of scraped off a little bit with my fingernail and just like sucked on it a bit. Been like a little scavenger, but I'd never. It's my mom's chocolate.
Yeah.
This is special chocolate. This isn't fucking Hershey's.
Ain't you, man.
And this was one of the hottest debates me and my dad had for the longest time. I think I even mentioned it when I moved back because Sam never really admitted to it. He just laughed.
Oh.
But when I went back home last few months ago, I was like, you fucking ate that chocolate. And he's like, yeah, I did. And it was good. It was good.
Yeah, I did.
So that was,
and she'll never believe you.
Oh, she. I don't even think she said anything. I think she just closed the box and went to her room. She was so mad because she was like, I was saving this. I had a really shitty day, Liz. I had a shitty day and I was looking forward to this chocolate and it was gone. And I was like, I didn't do it.
I wish it were me, but it wasn't.
Then we could solve this case. Yeah, but that is one of the hottest debacles in our family. The day the chocolate was gone.
Devin tore his family apart.
I think the box still exists. I think it's still around. I don't think she threw it away because my mom holds grudges. So she's just
it's
like,
there as proof forever, open, ready.
My brother's betrayal will never be forgotten. And the day me and my dad, he was going to let us take the fall. Yeah. He was just sitting there waiting for one of us to be like, to just stumble.
Wanting you to crack.
And it was just like, we can't crack because we're ridiculously honest.
Yeah.
Like, we can't hold a secret at all. It's just written all over our face. And it was just like, oh, I don't know. We look like a fucking couple of Three Stooges. It was the Two Stooges. It was fucking Curly and Larry looking at each other. Just like,
the great mystery.
And it was fucking Mo the whole time.
Oh, man. He's sitting there getting away with it all.
I'm still upset. He was going to let us take the fall.
Years later.
This was nearly 10 years ago, and I'm still mad. But never. I don't think I'll ever be as upset as my mom.
No, you couldn't be. She just lost that amazing chocolate.
That was her leg lamp.
Buried the box outside. Play the last post.
In the arms of the angel. Oh, man. Asshole.
This cruel, cruel world starts playing.
All around me are familiar faces. I don't think he regrets it. That's the thing. He doesn't regret it one bit.
No punishment came to him, so.
I don't think so. No, I think my mom was so mad she didn't do anything.
Oh, shit.
That's a fucking rare occasion. Because me and my sister, but you know, Sam was the golden boy. Mm. Like the punishments he got never really lasted. You know, he's just, he's too good of a kid. He doesn't
Youngest child?
Yep.
Yeah. No, yeah. I get that. Totally got away with it.
Yeah. Totally got away with it. But I think, honestly, he's a good kid, too. I think he made up for it in some way. I'm sure he did. Because he's a good boy.
Took out the trash for months.
Yeah, right. That was my job. He doesn't do shit around the house.
Man, is your little brother my little brother?
Probably.
All little brothers.
No, he's... Now, don't put this in your show, but
My
fucking brother, leave it. My brother.
It's staying in.
The little fucking shit. So my mom, me and my dad are clones of each other.
Yep.
Sorry. Dad are clones of each other. My brother and my mom are clones of each other.
Okay.
So they're passive aggressive as hell. Me and my dad, we're just like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? Just tell us what's wrong so we can fix it. And then we have our bursts of anger and then we're okay, but they simmer.
Oh, God.
My mom and my brother, they simmer.
Mm.
And then you think the fucking issue's over, and then they're just being shit-faced at you, and you're like, what the hell's going on? Oh, you're mad at that? I'm over that. No?
That was yesterday. It's fine.
It was like 2 hours ago. Get over it.
It's already in the past. It happened already. Move on.
But anyways, one of the things that my brother and my mom really get really butt heads on are the dishes.
Ah.
So my mom's like, Sam, do the dishes. And this fucker, this little shit, says, I don't feel like it. Don't want to do them. And it's like, I remember
motherfucking the
first time he said that. It was right after I came back from Florida. I was 20 years old, 21. And he said that to my mom. And I looked at him. And I looked at my mom waiting for the fist to fly. The hand of fury. The chancla, you know?
I get that reference.
Yeah. Yeah. I was waiting for the fury of mom to come down. And she just looked at him. The hand of God. The five-finger death punch. She looks at him and says, I guess they won't get done then.
Oh, God.
And me and my dad look at each other. And we just blink because we're just like, what the fuck does that mean? Are they going to get done then? Next day, they're still not done. The pile's up. And then I get pissed off, and I'm just like, fuck it, I'll do it. So I do it, and then it's like, Sam, it's your turn for dishes. He's like, nah, not doing them. And I'm like, why? So I guess they won't get done then. And then my dad is just like, God damn it, Lizzie, let's do the dishes. So me and my dad have to pay for their passive aggression.
Yep. No, I totally get that. I'm like, Jared, laundry, it's got to be done. And he's like, no, you can do it. And I'm like, well, half of this shit's yours. Here's your shirt from work that you've got to wear tonight. You know, go ahead and do it. And he's like, no. It's like, well, you know what? Then fucking I'll do it. No. I'm the only one around who, so I'll fucking do it.
Don't do it. Let him go with the dirty shirt. I did that with my brother. He had
not just dirty. It's got to be hung out, man. It's wet.
Oh yeah, it's true. We have dryers in America, and we use them.
I have a dryer, but screw that. Hang that shit out. It saves power. Thrifty.
Guys are so. I think that's one of the biggest culture shocks for me is like the non-use of a dryer. When I first moved into like a house, there was a washer, and I was like, where's the dryer? Because I hang out the clothes that will shrink if they go in the dryer.
Yep.
But you hang up everything.
Pretty much. I own a dryer, but it's only used really during winter.
Nah, I use it. I want these clothes dry, and I want them dry within an hour and 30 minutes.
Dry and warm.
Yeah, I will dry them in during winter, and I will lay in them like a cat. Yeah, but anyways, so no, I don't do his laundry.
Mm.
And my God, I've seen his room. I've seen your room,
Sam. That's the problem.
I'm embarrassing you on public television.
That's the problem, though, because if you
I don't share a room with them, though.
I know, but if you let it slide, it just piles up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like anyone's going to learn a lesson by like, all right, fine, your clothes won't get washed. He'll just buy new clothes. He'll just wear something different or wear something dirty. And then I'm going to have to deal with the smell because he's going to be sitting there in the same room as me and I'll be like, you stink. Are you wearing the same pair of underwear 3 weeks in a row? Yeah.
That's disgusting. I just shame him. I let him go to work with this dirty ass apron because he worked at Subway. I don't know if he still does, but he worked at Subway. He's like, I fucking forgot to wash my apron. I was like, well, guess you're going to work then. And then my mom, she's like, Sam, did you go to work with the dirty apron? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And my mom she's shaking her head. And I'm like, well, I'm not washing it for him. He's fucking 18.
He can get right on it.
Look, I've done my time. I wash my clothes. And fucking hell. I don't do it. If he has dirty clothes in his room, fucking live with it. You live in your nasty filth. But to be fair, you share a room with your brother. I don't.
Yeah.
I live far away, and if he's sitting in the same room with me and he stinks, I get the fucking Febreze and I spray him.
I'll keep that in mind next time.
Yeah, I spray him. I'm like, you stink, and get up so I can spray the couch underneath you.
See, I'm like it's the most odd couple thing for me and my brother to live in the same space because he's like just leave crap wherever it falls, and I'm like, no, you pick that stuff up. So there was a point I remember a few years ago where I think I was in uni by this point, and he was in like maybe his second or last year of high school, where there was just like a literal line down the middle of the room.
I was about to ask.
Like, I'm talking like it was like visible of this perfectly straight line going all the way up halfway down the room.
Yep. No, me and my sister did the same thing, but we were children.
Oh no, we were adults now, and I got to the point where I was like, this has been the case for months. Like, I've got this perfectly clean space, and he's just clothes on the floor, and I've kicked them over to his side, and I'm like, get this shit off my side.
Amazing.
And it got to the point where I was like, I have the day off today. Like, this is on my day off uni, where I was like, I have one day off during the week. And I was just like,
you didn't.
Dude, I was just like, there's crap thrown under his bed. There's rubbish everywhere. There's shopping bags. I'm sick of it. And so I spent my day off uni where I'm pretty sure I had assignments to be working on. And I think I just wanted to procrastinate. I think I just wanted something else to do with my life. Where I was like, I want to write this essay right now.
Well, because that's the thing, too, that I find with a lot of people, if there's a mess in the room, they can't concentrate.
Yep.
And so maybe it wasn't really procrastination, but like, I can't concentrate because there is a mess in the space.
Yeah. But I just remember, like, I was just like, I'm done. And I just got up. I just threw all of his, like, I just threw all of his clothes out into like this washing hamper. And I was like, pulling everything out. I'm like, trash, trash, trash. Like, I was just like, he doesn't need any of this. This is all trash. This stuff, I was having this moment where I was like, I thought he'd just been hoarding crap that might be useful that could go in drawers, but no, this is all literal like rubbish. This can go away. And I was like going through all these boxes of like just random crap, and I was like, oh my God, none of this is. I was having like this moment where I was like, how is it possible that this is built up? And so
it's fucking possible.
Yep. And then and like that evening at like you know, 4 o'clock when he gets home from school. I was like, this is what I have done. And I was like so mad at him. I was like, this is, I handed him like a little trash bag and I was like, this is what I pulled out from under your bed. This is your problem. He was furious for about like maybe half an hour where he's like, you cleaned out my stuff. How dare you touch my stuff? And I was like, hey man, thanks for cleaning up my stuff. It's so much better now. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You clean it out next time, right? You keep it clean. How about you keep it that way? And you know what?
How long did it last?
It lasted about a day.
Yep.
before I look back and I was like, that's a chip packet.
Yep.
Fuck you. And I haven't done it since, but it really needs to be cleaned out. And I badger him about it constantly. Where I'm like, dude, there are 5 just like reusable shopping bags. Are you buying new ones?
Look, the reusable shopping bags, I always forget to get them. So we have like a bag full of them.
Yeah.
But
I have so many reusable shopping bags. I don't think any of them have been used twice.
I don't think so either. But I have a similar story.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about little brothers because, you know, this movie is also about brotherhood.
This movie is about like Ralphie and his little brother. And you know what? Honestly, I think sharing stories about little brothers, it kind of fits within our theme of, you know, the coming of age stories.
Because I was thinking about it and I was like, nah, this goes with it because Ralphie's little brother is a shit and they fought.
Yeah.
Anyways, I have a similar story. Me and my sister used to pick up my brother's room a lot when he was growing up because we were so much older than him and he used to just keep his toys everywhere, so we cleaned it up.
Yeah.
I think I was about 14 or 15 when I cleaned his room for the last time, and I've never looked back. I don't know if my mom has done it for him since or my sister or what have you. I don't think anybody's done it because his room was a fucking sty when I left. Mm. This was the last time. I think it was me, my sister, and my mom cleaning it because we were like, it needs to be done. This boy, not only does he keep like all of his clothes drawer open with dirty and clean clothes hanging out.
Oh, God.
And then the floor is just full of also clothes. And I think this is the time where he still had some toys and stuff.
Mm.
So he had toys strewn along the room. And it was baffling. Like, because I'm a pretty cluttery person, too. I can be a bit messy. I know I can leave clothes in corners, and my makeup desk is just, like, I need to keep it all out so I can viscerally see where everything is. So I get it.
Yep.
That being said, I do not understand having, like, war flashbacks because I remember what fucking was the last straw for me.
Yep.
So we cleaned under his bed. And, of course, there's, like, bottles of water under his bed. I think that's what is in everybody's room. It's like, they have one bottle of water. And because they're so he's much more eco-friendly now because his girlfriend now is super vegan, super non-plastic.
Yep.
So he doesn't use plastic bottles anymore. But he had, like, 10 in his room.
Oof.
But not only did he have that, he had candy wrappers. I swear, I filled up, like, a Walmart bag of candy wrappers. But not only that, this is what really fucked me up.
Yep.
He had half-eaten cupcakes under his bed.
Oh, no.
And like,
there's food.
And like, these cupcakes weren't fresh. They were hard. And they weren't even finished. And it wasn't just one. It was 3.
Oh, my God.
Where did he get these cupcakes from? I don't know. I have no possible way of knowing when the last time we had cupcakes was. Because surely he got it from us. Because he's fucking 12 years old. Did he get them from school? And if so, why didn't I see? I pick him up from school. I don't know where he got these cupcakes from. But there were 3 under his bed. They were half eaten and they were rock hard. And we had to clean up his room because it was nearly summer and fucking ants.
Yep. I was when you mentioned that, I was like, there's going to be ants under there, wouldn't there? Like, you're right on the edge there.
I don't know if there's ants in his room. I get a lot of ants in my room because I live in the basement, so I live live in the dirt.
Yeah.
I'm a dirt dweller. So I get ants all
basement
the time
crawling.
And I spray that shit. I leave the spiders alive so they can eat the ants. That's how much I don't even really like spiders. I don't think anybody really does.
Nobody
unless they're
likes
like
them,
I mean, there are people out there.
Weird,
they exist.
Strange people those.
Yeah, but I don't really even like spiders.
Mm.
But I keep those fuckers alive so they can kill ants because I hate ants more. They don't sleep. They don't sleep, and they have a smell.
Bah.
But that was the last straw. I was like, nah, Mom, I'm not cleaning this room again.
He does himself.
Wild horses could not drag me to clean this room. I will not do it. He is 12. He can do it himself. And I don't think he ever has really cleaned his room.
Yep.
When it gets too messy... and too hot in his room because he lives upstairs and I lived in the basement where it's cooler. He'll go downstairs to the basement and sleep in the game room. And my mom calls it his hotel room. And then he makes a mess there.
Oh, God. It just follows.
Sorry, I'm airing my dirty laundry out for public. Sam, quite literally. I hope this shames you into cleaning more.
Really, just clean, people. Come on.
It's not. It's like we're not telling you to be sterile, people. Like, clean everything and sanitize.
Don't leave your crap out.
Don't leave fucking cupcakes under your bed, maybe. Maybe throw away the wrappers when you're done with them.
I feel like that's a great note to end the podcast on. I think we spent half of it talking about, like, our childhood. Like, our,
Honestly, we stopped talking about brothers and started talking about fucking... We stopped talking about the movie and started talking about our brothers.
You know what? I think that's fine for, like, you know... You know what? Christmas is about spending time with your family, right?
Yeah, and, like, look. Speaking of annoying little brothers, Randy was a little shit.
Little bit.
The movie. He wouldn't eat his food.
Yeah.
Who doesn't eat food?
He.
Tell him, Carl.
The only way his mother can coax him into eating meatloaf and mashed potatoes is by trying to be like, so how do the pigs eat, Randy? Show us. Oh, and it's just the most disgusting thing ever. He's just got like food up his nose.
It's all over his face.
All over his like.
Bib. He has to wear a bib.
He has a bib on.
He's fucking 6 years old wearing a bib.
This kid. So temperamental and annoying. At least his mother got a kick out of it.
Can't put my arms down. My endorsement is watch this movie, especially if you
it's really good.
Like if you're an only child, like you're probably going to enjoy it anyway.
Yeah.
But if you definitely have a younger brother, you're gonna be like that fucking little shit. Sitting there, remember everything you did. He's gonna kill Ralphie. Randy can clean it up. He did it last year. He can do it again.
Yeah. He can damn well do it again.
Yeah, but brothers.
Yeah.
Just fucking clean up your side of the room, man.
It's not that hard.
The basket is right there.
Join us next week for our discussion of Home Alone.